Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home services marketplace, and they're here to help homeowners get all of their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project is, big or small, indoor or outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled professionals to get the job done well. I just recently had a flood in Vegas. You guys know all about it because I've vlogged it, and I used Angie to find painters to come and repaint from the flood damage, and I'm telling you, it was the easiest process that I could have ever gone through. Angie can help you find the best price for your project. Angie lets you request and compare quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps, or book services at an upfront price based on local data. Angie has cost guides that will tell you what others have paid for similar projects, both nationally and in your area. Get started at Angie.com. That's ANGI.com, or download the app today. The app and the website is free to use.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
Hey guys, I need to ask you a question. I want to know, why in the hell are you not on Patreon? I don't think you guys even realize how much content we have on Patreon. Let me break it down for you. We have the Bunny XO show. We have Meet the D-Fords. We have Popaganda. We have a cooking show that's coming. We have more shows that we're adding. And not to mention, we have the visuals of the podcast. Not only that, we have four tiers that caters to everybody's budget, and everybody gets the podcast. There's no more excuses. Stop listening right now and head over to www.patreon.com/dumbblondpodcast and sign up. Stop missing out. We have built a huge community over there, guys. I'm talking about hundreds of thousands of people over there. We even have live chats that I actually am talking in every single night. I'm in there just confessing all of my sins to you guys. I mean, it gets a little ridiculous. Last but not least, we give away gifts every freaking month. I'm talking like signed stuff from Jay and I, lives. You just never know what kind of surprise you're going to get. It's like a Cracker Jack box. I love the community that we've built over there at Patreon. If you are already a Patreon member, I freaking love you, dude. Thank you so much. From my sideshow tier to the carnival tier to the ringleader tier to the main attraction, you guys are my babies for life, my writers. If I could, I would literally make out with each and every one of you. I love you guys so much. And that's a lot of kisses, actually. Gotta go back. Is this thing on?
Bonnie, who used to be a former sex worker and now hosts the podcast Dumb Blonde.
Most little girls grow up wanting to be doctors and lawyers and shit. And I was like, I want to be super hot, make a lot of fucking money, and be a rock star's wife. That was my goal as a child. And here we are.
What's up, you sexy motherfuckers? Welcome to another episode of Dumb Blonde. Today, I am so excited for this guest. And not only am I excited, my husband is like fangirling out and wants me to call him just to even say hi to this person. And I'm just so happy to have you here, baby. Oh,
thank you for
Tyler
having me, Bunny.
Henry. Hollywood medium.
I would not have missed this for the world. I'm so, so thankful.
You are just such a sweet soul. You have the sweetest, like, kind of spirit. It's almost like, kind of like, you remind me, because I am obsessed with fairies.
Oh, yeah.
And I consider myself fairy energy.
Oh, yeah.
You have, like, such fairy-like energy.
Thank you. I twinkle around.
Just so
just
sweet.
Fart glitter at people very aggressively.
He's like, I shit gold, bitch. That's,
call me Tinkerbell.
I love that. Yeah. Yes. How are you?
Doing good. I'm so glad to be here. It's a beautiful day. We got here. We were hanging out outside.
Your
we're
mom.
In California.
Your mom is so sweet.
Along. That old ball and chain, I love her to pieces, but she drives me everywhere, including crazy.
Like, can we talk about that? So you're almost 30 years old.
Yes.
Why do you not have a driver's license?
You know, I get so many impressions when I'm on the way to work.
Oh.
And they're, you know, psychic kind of moments of knowingness and kind of gets distracting. And so starting off in its inception, my mom drove me just out of convenience. And then I actually had a brain surgery when I was 18. I had a mini stroke and a brain cyst and surgery. And so I was told by a doctor to not drive. But I got the all clear eventually, and now it's just laziness.
That's amazing. We're going to circle back to that, though, because I'd like to always find out. My thing with my podcast is I love to hear people's journeys. I love to hear their stories. I want to know, like, what made you who you are, you know? So let's take it all the way back. Like, are you from L.A.?
So originally from Central California in a really small agricultural town called Hanford.
Okay.
And it basically just kind of grew up in this rural environment. I was an only child. My parents were married and still are now for over 30-something years.
We love that for you.
I'm really thankful. I came from good people and, you know, just naturally after a premonition of my grandmother's death when I was 10 years old, it kind of kicked off what I would later recognize as an ability. But at that age, I didn't, you know, it didn't click.
Yeah. Do you ever get tired of telling your story over and over and over again?
I think it's pertinent. I think it's pertinent for people to get an understanding of kind of what it is that I do.
Yeah.
And I think the history is a big part of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. So you had never had any premonitions prior to being 10 years old?
None. And there were definitely intuitive moments. You know, I think kids are very intuitive by nature and they're relentlessly honest.
Yeah.
But this was a little different. As I kind of hit puberty, it started evolving into these moments of just knowingness, and I couldn't explain it. I would just say things and people would say that they were true.
When you say you had a premonition about your grandma's death, what exactly happened?
So in April of 2006, I basically just woke up one night and had this feeling of like a memory that hadn't happened yet. And it's kind of the only way to describe it. It was very clear. It was like in my bones. And when I woke up, I didn't understand it, but I went to try to explain this feeling to my mom. And as I did, we literally got the news that my grandmother had passed. My dad rang my mom and she picked up the phone.
Yeah.
But I didn't tell my dad for years, you know, after. My mom and I kind of kept this a secret.
Right.
And, you know, he was very religious and conservative. And so when I was 16, I kind of jumped out all those closets at once.
Yeah, really?
Yeah.
So let's circle back real quick, because that's a big age gap, 10 to 16. I did hear on another podcast that you said that you grew up Presbyterian, but you would go and kind of like church shop other denominations, which I found fascinating that somebody at your age would even consider doing that.
Yeah, you know, I think I've always been a seeker. I was always looking for a sense of understanding, trying to find a sense of place in the world.
Yeah.
And I always did have a deep sense of faith. I found that through my work, it kind of evolved from a place of faith into trust. You know, the work allowed me to really have genuine moments of connection with people where we would have very real transcendent experiences. And that kind of helped me find ultimately what I think I was always looking for. But yeah, I was going to any church that would take me when I was probably
around
10
to 13. Did you find one that you resonated with the most? Because I was raised Southern Pentecostal.
Oh, wow.
And I have religious trauma that you could not believe. I consider myself extremely spiritual, and like you, I have visions and stuff like that too. Not on your level though at all. I've never tapped into it either, but you know, ever since I was a child, I've always had visions and stuff like that, predicted deaths and all that jazz. But I just remember as a child, I always knew that there was something different, you know? And so at 10 years old, were you able to be like, okay, I'm not like everybody else here?
Sure. You know, I think people's responses to me were really what made me feel different. You know, at 10 years old, you're just having these organic experiences. And while they're strange, they're organic. And it's other people who tell you, you know, oh, that's odd or that's the devil. And at a very early age, I think I had to kind of face my identity because I had people praying for my soul. You know, the parents of children at school would hear about what I was doing. And there was one instance where a lady who later came to me for a reading, I might add, had a prayer circle for a 10-year-old little boy.
Aww.
And that was me. And so having to face that resistance was really difficult. But it was a kind of early test into having a thick skin and being true to who I was.
I couldn't imagine at 10 years old having people try to pray over me and, like, you know,
it was nuts.
Pray the demons out.
Yeah.
Was that traumatic for you?
For sure. It was something more of hearing through the grapevine that people in their little groups were, you know, talking about me. And then I'd go to churches and they eventually showed a clip about necromancy, which is what they called it.
Isn't that
that's like raising the dead,
yeah,
right? And they conflated it with mediumship at this youth group I went to. And they popped a video in about the evils of spirit communication. And everyone just kind of looked at me. And I never went back. So it put me through the ringer. But ultimately, I can look back in hindsight and see that those people were there in that room seeking a deeper sense of affirmation of a higher power.
Right.
And in my work, I'm reminded of that just in a different way. So I don't fault them for their ignorance. You know, we're all kind of on our own path.
Yeah. So I had cut you off to talk about myself for a second there, but did you find a denomination that you resonated with?
Not so much, you know, but it was okay. I think it was a kind of a exposure therapy, right?
Right.
You get out there
and
you just
kind of
see what you believe. And I think there's something really valuable about being open-minded and trying different things out.
Absolutely. And I always tell everybody, people are like, you know, do you love Jesus? And I'm like, I absolutely love Jesus, but I don't believe that, and not to get dive into religion or anything like that, but I just feel like, you know, Jesus was a lot cooler than how they try to put it. And I don't feel like he was a freaking Capricorn, okay? Right. We're pretty cool characters. I know you're a Capricorn too.
That's right.
I'm Capricorn Aquarius. I'm January 22nd, so I'm right on the cusp, but I have a Capricorn rising. He was, you know, he had to have been cool, you know, and just, I don't feel like it's so cut and dry and so like heaven or hell. And I don't think that scaring people and being fear-based is the way to make people, you want to have a place where you tell people that where they, what they can and can't do, but then you expect them to go out and spread love.
Sure. Yeah.
I don't understand how that works.
It's very conditional.
Yeah.
Very conditional.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I think through the messages of what I've seen in this work, while I don't claim to have really any of the answers, you know, it's just kind of a very, very little moments of knowingness. There really does seem to be something that transcends belief.
Yeah.
When people come through, they really seem to recognize that it was about love.
Yeah.
And in hindsight, it was about introspection.
Mm-hmm.
And every soul that I've connected with in the thousands of readings that I've done has seemed to come through in almost a state of self-awareness, in a deeper state of self.
Yeah.
They almost present as more of themselves than they even could have been here. And it can be really beautiful.
That's amazing. So moving on from, you know, this 10-year-old who's exploring different religions, you are growing up. And does your family stay in the church, or do you guys kind of like take your own path?
They were kind of back and forth. To be honest, I ended up going to church more than my parents at a certain point.
Aww.
So, you know, they were kind of, I think, coming to their own reckoning with religion and trying to identify what they believed.
Wow.
And so
even your father, who was
my father.
Wow.
Yeah. And he ended up having his own, you know, frustration with God. He was some family members were excommunicated on that side of family.
Oh my goodness.
Back in the day. So they had their own, you know, trauma around it. But I think through being true to who I was able to know my dad in a way that I would have never been able to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And there was really something about authenticity there, of the courage that required
and
the risk.
Yeah.
And in doing so, he and I were able to have a closer relationship. He was able to have a deeper spirituality.
You were put on this earth to help him see that.
Well, thank you. I think so on some level.
Do you believe in soul families?
I do. I think the soul, you know, is such a fascinating subject, because people often think of it as like a singular thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are eternal, if we go on forever, we would have kind of various chapters of that eternal state, right? So the soul kind of becomes, in my mind, many things.
Yeah. I love that. That's beautiful. The way you explain things is so poetic.
Oh, thank
you. I could sit here and listen to you talk for hours.
It's the fairy in me.
I love it.
Better watch out. I'm going to fart glitter. No one's safe.
I love it. So I know you've told the story before, but I need you to tell the bully story, because this is like something out of a fucking movie. Like, literally, when I heard you say it, it kind of took my breath away, because I could visualize it. I'm such a visual person. And hearing you explain the story, just, I would love for my listeners to hear the story as well.
So when I was in middle school, I was bullied relentlessly.
Mm-hmm.
And there was an instance where there was this kid who used to beat me up pretty regularly. He and a number of his friends had watched me go into the school bathroom alone. And I didn't realize this at the time, but I was washing my hands and my hands were wet. And I heard the door open from behind me. And when I looked, I realized he and about three other people came in. And as they rushed in, they blocked the door.
They were going to beat up our little Tyler.
I know, this little homo. What? You're really going to take me out? Like, come on. That's low-hanging fruit, baby.
Did you always know you were gay?
I mean, I always knew something was going
on. Okay, we'll talk about that after the
bully story. I had girlfriends. I was causing chaos in the middle school scene. I had girlfriends, and I was cheating on the girlfriends with their boyfriend.
Oh, you little player.
There was a lot going on.
Player from the Himalayas.
I know, you better watch out.
I love
this
that.
This medium went large.
Oh. I love this. Oh my God. Okay, tell the bully story and then we'll get into
that. Yes. So the bullies, they blocked
the
door.
I'm over here. I'm excited.
And this weird instinctual thing came over me. I don't know if it was just a defense mechanism or what, but I made eye contact with him. And as I did, I just said, "Your aunt knows that you were crying with your dad last night and you need to leave me alone." And I just said it point blank. And
goosebumps,
as I said this,
right?
His friends looked at him. He looked at them. And I always say, faster than you can say gay. They were like out of that bathroom. It took off running, because his friends didn't know what was going on. But his aunt had passed. And what was crazy is the night before, he'd been crying in his dad's arms about that loss. And it was actually a very humbling moment. It scared the crap out of him. But it, for me, really helped both protect me. And years later, he reached out and actually thanked me.
No, because you taught him probably a lesson there that he was taking his anger and his hurt out on somebody else.
That's very true. Yeah.
That's amazing.
It was really fascinating and kind of an interesting moment of growth for both of us.
Yeah.
So it ended up being kind of sweet.
That's wild. So did you guys ever tell your dad that you had this gift?
So around 16, I had to start coming out of that psychic closet. My mom was like, Tyler, you're scaring students. You're scaring teachers. You know, I was telling teachers about their personal lives, which we covered on my Netflix show, Life After Death.
Yeah.
My math teacher was interviewed. So you can imagine how that went.
Yeah.
And she told about her experience with me. But my mom said, you know, Tyler, you got to tell your dad before he finds out. So I sat him down one day and I basically said something to the effect of like, Dad, you know, ever since I was little, I felt different than the other boys. Mm-hmm. I don't really know how to explain it.
And he started looking
kind of
worried.
Oh, it's coming, huh?
Are you coming out of the closet now, Tyler?
Exactly. And then I, you know, just said, you know, from what I understand, I'm a medium. And I didn't even fully understand what that meant in its entirety. And now even my definition of medium has evolved. I used to think of it as somebody who acts as a messenger for people on the other side. But I actually have kind of widened that definition of a medium to being really anybody who psychic phenomenon happens around.
Mm.
So
I feel like so many people abuse that title though too.
Oh yes.
And it's not fair because there are people who are like you that really just want to do good with their gift.
Yeah.
Whereas there are some people, and that's why I have two women that I have had for years in my life that do, one does my birth chart and the other one is she does like all my rituals on the full moons and like psychic stuff for me.
Yeah.
And they're all positive like you. Yeah. I love that. I love like the white magic.
Yes.
I don't love the black magic. That stuff scares the shit out of me.
Of course. Yeah, you want to be affirmative. Sorry, I don't
interrupt. No, you're fine. I interrupt you all the time. So circling back, when you were in junior high school, you were a little playa from the Himalayas.
That's right.
All the way through high school.
Just on that jungle gym, just taking them out.
I love it. So when did you realize that you were like, okay, I don't like girls anymore?
Because
you kept cheating on them?
I had a bunch of bad breakups, which, gee, I wonder why.
Damn
and, you know, middle school, I don't know what was going on. I had a much like closer hairline back then. So I think it was just, you know, I don't know, Macaulay Culkin, Riz.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You're a little blondie.
Yeah.
Girls love the blondies.
They did back then.
Yeah.
But, you know, alas, it was not meant to be.
Aw. So when did you finally just say, you know what, I think I'm just going to date men?
You know, I think I was probably around 16, 17. I was like, you know what, probably
felt like
somewhere in the middle. But I was like, you know, people don't believe in bisexuals. So I was like, I have to kind of pick one side or the other.
Yeah.
And unfortunately.
Do you still consider yourself bisexual now? Or
I mean, technically. But
I love that.
But again, you know, people tend to kind of put you into one binary.
Yeah,
another.
You have to be in a box.
And
yeah,
being in a relationship now with a man for 8 years, I think most people are like, that dude's gay.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I love it. Would you guys ever bring a girl in, like,
I mean,
mess around with?
He on the Kinsey scale is a little bit further than I am.
Oh, gotcha.
So I think he'll do your nails.
I love that. Yeah. And what was his name?
Clint.
Clint.
Yes.
Hi, Clint. We love you.
Love
we
you,
wish
Clint.
You were here, Clint. Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launcher online shop stage to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Since I switched over to Shopify, my business has grown expeditiously and upped my merch game. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. and Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way, because businesses that grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E, now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/bunny. From crash diets to fad diets, injections and pills, the weight loss industry is a cash machine, but it is all temporary because once you stop, most people gain the weight back plus a little extra. Imagine all that time and money and you're still left hiding your body under baggy clothes or turning the lights off when you're with your significant other because you're shy or embarrassed about your body. Well, Sono Bello can help you change the way you look at yourself. In one visit, you will see the difference in your tummy, side, thighs, arms, or wherever you have stubborn fat. You guys know me. I let you guys know when I get stuff done. I absolutely do not see anything wrong with getting a little bit of laser lipo done. I had it done right before the Grammys, and it smoothed my hips for my dress. And let me tell you, I will do it again and again and again. Schedule your free consultation and learn all about microlaser fat removal. Give yourself the gift of a full body reset. You deserve to be happy. Sono Bello is running a great special right now. Visit SonoBello.com/bunny, B-U-N-N-I-E. That's SonoBello, SonoBello.com/bunny. So moving on, when did the scribbling start?
Yes, sorry. I love it.
How you like how I segue from the
it's just so good.
Completely unhinged. So good. Completely unhinged.
I love it.
So segueing from that, yes. When did you start like scribbling? Because I know that like to channel, you scribble, right?
So scribbling kind of has helped me turn on and turn off psychically when I'm doing the reading. And it's kind of, its inception started when I was in school and I was talking to a girlfriend, not a literal one, but we were talking about homework. And I was just kind of doodling as you do when you're on the phone. And I just found that kind of moments of knowingness that I'd had previously would kind of pop up. You know, we'd be talking about homework and I'd be seeing the conflict that her dad was having with her mother. Aww. So that ended up actually working as kind of a means to concentrate, to kind of turn on, so that when I wasn't scribbling, I could maintain some degree of normalcy. But it's really more the repetition of it than anything. It's more about the process than the product.
Yeah. Does your gift ever get in the way of you being able to connect with people because you always have stuff coming at you? Like, do you ever have moments of silence?
I definitely carve out time in my life, I think, for solitude, which I think is so important for anybody, and especially people who take on others' energy. But I it's always busy up here.
Yeah.
There's always...
Does it ever get in the way of, like, forming relationships? Like, have you ever, like, gotten a bad feeling about somebody and, like, been able to see visions of something?
Totally. Or? One benefit, I think, of intuition, which we all have, is that it really can act as an inner compass. Mm-hmm. And when we can refine and kind of finely tune that compass, it won't lead us astray.
Yeah.
I think so often people are not inclined to go with their gut feelings, and that leads to a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. But people get first impressions. You know, when you meet someone, you will feel a warmth or a coldness. When you shake someone's hand, when you give them a hug. And I think people need to honor that and go with that, because that for me, actually, if anything, has saved me a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
I do think there's something to be said about giving people the benefit of the doubt. But equally, if someone's really hitting something on a visceral level, be mindful of that and what might be informing that.
Mm. Crazy. Yeah. So when did Hollywood start taking an interest in you? Because I feel like you have been in the limelight forever.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, being an immortal fairy, we've been here since the 40s. But no, it started for me around probably 18, most affirmatively. Between 16 and 18, I basically was just doing readings through word of mouth. And as I did that, word of mouth spread into Southern California, where people were really just more open-minded. Mm-hmm. In my little agricultural community, I mean, you had people who were open, but... by nature, you know, creative people tend to kind of, I think, believe in destiny more generally. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. And so Sarah Paulson called me up one day.
Well, from American Horror Story. Wow, I love her.
My hand was shaking. I was like sweaty palmed. I didn't know what I like almost dropped the phone. I was so nervous.
I didn't know she was a key player in any of this.
She's amazing. And so she was my first technically official celebrity reading. And she asked if I had a message for Jessica. I was like, Jessica Lange? And I did.
Did Jessica pass? I did not know.
Oh, no, she's still with us.
Oh, okay.
It was for her love life.
I was like,
her love life has transitioned.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Thankfully, she's very much still around.
I was like, when did this happen?
I know.
She's an amazing woman, too.
Oh, incredible. King Kong. I don't know. She was just an icon.
Yeah. Always will. Literally. Just fucking her. So is Sarah Paulson, though, too.
Oh, my God. To be able to play a role with two heads?
Yeah.
That's insane.
Yeah, literally.
That's truly
strange. So when did Hollywood like come in besides after that? So that Sarah Paulson pretty much opened up the door for you?
Just one thing led to another. Eventually the E! Network was interested because I was just this little kid basically who came from this little town, and I had naturally just kind of worked with some celebrities, and they thought, okay, if we're going to do a show with you, it has to be celebrity oriented because we're the E! Network, right? The land of Kardashians. But they put me through the ringer. I had to read like upwards over 20 either friends or family of various executives, and they would test me. So they'd bring me in and they'd say, okay, you're going to read three people today and we're not going to tell you who they are. And, you know, everyone knew depending on how that went, it was whether I got greenlit or not.
Yeah.
And thankfully I was able to knock it out of the park every time that it was required.
Do you ever get tired of people doubting you?
No, it's fun kind of, to be honest. Oh,
really?
Yeah. I like to
know. Now everybody's going to challenge
you,
Tyler.
When you know that you're real and when you know you've had real experiences, there's a smugness.
You're like, fucking game on.
Because I know that what I've done is real.
Yeah.
And other people may not believe it, but I know that there's more to life than what we see. I affirmatively can say through my experiences, there's more to this world than we can fully understand. And I'm thankful through this work to be able to demonstrate it. I have my own questions. I think it's important to be skeptical, to have doubts. And that's kind of how the truth rises to the top.
That's crazy. I feel like you're so full of love. There's been a couple times that you've said things and it just makes me want to cry because you're just so like,
thank you.
Everything you say is just so beautifully said. It's wild. Let's talk about the Alan Thicke interview. That is crazy that, you know, he came in as a skeptic. And what happened with that? It's for the people at home who don't know.
That was a hard reading. You know, he came with his wife, Tanya, who I've been able to make a friendship with since, and we've been very close. But he was a total skeptic. You know, he came in and was kind of like laughing and jovial and didn't really take it very seriously. Now, look, on the E! Network, we read over 200 celebrity clients. Mm-hmm. Some came in really enthusiastic, genuinely needing something. And then there were people who just wanted to sell their next project. Aww. And it wasn't that he fell into that second category, but he didn't know what to make of it.
Right.
And so as I connected with him, I brought through a relative of his who had died of a heart condition. And this was a heart condition that I felt very strongly he himself needed to keep in mind of. Mm-hmm. And as I relayed this, he kind of laughed it off. I was ended up being sent the unedited clip of me telling Alan this, and it went on for over 2 minutes of me just begging him to go see a doctor for his heart. Mm-hmm. And he laughed it off. He said, thank you, Dr. Tyler. And then he tragically passed, you know, for those who know, about 3 months later of a heart problem.
Did he never go to the doctor?
Tanya, I'm pretty sure, dragged him to the doctor to get a checkup. But it was one of those things where it was like what they describe as like a widowmaker, where, you know, it's one of those situations where it would have required further, you know, kind of insights into being able to determine like a specialist.
Gosh.
So it was one of those cases where, you know, as a messenger, I relay the information. But it's difficult when people at least don't fully listen.
Do you sense any health problems in me?
Oh no, I feel all good.
Okay, good.
I mean, stuff happens, but
let me know.
Yeah, I would 1,000%.
Oh my goodness. So when did you meet your boyfriend?
Yes, well, that happened. Let's see, I was 21, 28 now. And that happened as mom reached out, funny enough, for a reading way back in the day.
Yeah.
And he had reached out, and it was a really weird moment where when I saw his face, I knew without a doubt that was the person I was supposed to be with.
Oh, you cliche. Felt the connect? No, yeah. I say that about Jay all the time.
Do you?
I do. I tell everybody. I'm like, it was like our souls recognized each other.
Would you describe it as love at first sight?
Not love, but like familiar.
Yeah.
It was literally like familiar. Because I feel like love is like, to really fall in love with somebody, you have to spend time with them. You can fall in lust and be completely infatuated, but I just don't believe that you fall in love with somebody at first. I feel like you can be head over heels infatuated and Twitter-pated, you know, but that's the exact same feeling that I said I had with Jay.
Wow, that's so beautiful. Yeah. I think on some level, the soul sometimes knows.
Yeah, absolutely.
And there's a deep compatibility there. So that's gone on now for 7 years. We're going to get married soon. I wear this ring. It's more of an engagement.
But, when are you guys getting married? Do you have a date set?
No, we don't have a date. I was like, should we do Halloween?
Yeah,
because that'd be very on brand. But he's like, Tyler, we're not getting married on Halloween.
How does he feel about your psychic abilities?
He treats me just as Tyler the person versus Tyler the medium, but they're so intersected that, I mean, we're doing paranormal experiments every day. Like at night we read books to each other like two little old men. We're like night owls. So he really is so deeply compatible. But I think what makes us so good together is he sees me beyond what I have to offer.
Right, absolutely.
And I'm sure you feel the same way. Yeah. You know, it's like when someone really sees you. And this work reflects that everybody wants to be seen. Everybody wants to be validated. Everybody wants to feel understood in some way. And I'm thankful I get that from my relationship.
Are you always so positive? Do you ever have down moments?
Oh, all the time, yeah. Absolutely.
Do you suffer from any like depression, anxiety?
Well, I've been diagnosed with OCD for probably over a decade now. Mm-hmm. And I do take medication for it. We're at 20 milligrams Lexapro, gang.
Yay, woo, baby.
You know, that's right. So yes, absolutely. And I think it, for those who relate with anxiety, it can be very difficult with intuition to tell the difference. Mm-hmm. And so in my own life, it's been a bit of a trial run on how to kind of determine yeah. what's intuitive and what's really just feelings. And feelings aren't facts, as they say. So yeah. it's a very interesting dichotomy.
That's amazing. Feelings aren't facts. I need to remember that. I suffer from severe anxiety, so I get panic attacks all the time. But I've managed to get them under control in the past year. But do you feel like with age, you're being able to be able to decipher what is like a download or what is like you're really in a serious situation or panic or your body's just in fight or flight?
You know, I think it took time for that frontal lobe to develop, and I hit about 25 and one day I woke up, I was like, what the hell am I so worried about? I don't know what it is, but I just got to a place where I felt, I guess, oriented. You know, I was kind of thrown in front of the wolves at 19 and everyone's opinions and mean things and all that. And so it took time to kind of understand who I was, despite what other people thought of who I was.
Does online bullying affect you in any way?
You know, not as much as people probably wish.
Yeah, good.
You know, it really
I
doesn't.
Love that.
Like, I can genuinely read a comment about myself that's negative and be like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm getting there too. I've gotten to that point too.
And it's hard. I mean, of course, you get 99 comments. That one negative one can stand out. But
yeah.
you get to a place where I think you realize, and I've used this analogy before, that like you can be the biggest, juiciest peach.
Yeah.
And there's going to be people who hate peaches. And it's just part of life. And I think it's when you're secure with yourself, it's okay. You know, you can take differences of belief. When things become hostile or threatening, that's, you know, a different story.
Yeah. Have you ever had anything that, like, has really scared the shit out of you? Like, meeting somebody and seeing something or, like, you know, just something that has just jarred your spirit?
Yeah. I mean, there have been several moments. I would say there was one reading I gave that was really a series of readings with a woman who... she had terminal cancer, and a number of my clients I read for free who are kind of near the end of their life. Aww. And this lovely lady had married this man, and he was married for the second time. His first wife had actually also died of terminal cancer.
Aww.
And my client who I'm talking to was alive at the time. She was facing terminal cancer herself.
Right.
And the message there from her husband's ex-wife was, you know, I'm still here. I guided you into my husband's life to look after him after me.
Aww.
And it was so sweet. But she always felt that woman who had passed of cancer guided her into his life. And then it ended up my client died on the same day. On the date crossover for his first wife and his second wife. I'm trying to remember now if it was like birthdays or death dates, but it was the exact day. Mm. And it's so kind of clearly reflected in hindsight that there was some divine connection.
Yeah.
That they very clearly were both meant to serve a purpose in his life. Mm-hmm. And then pass on a date that was significant to both of them.
Oh my goodness.
Coincidences like that you see after a while, you realize they're almost messages in and of themselves.
Absolutely. You know? Yeah. What do you think happens to us after we die? Because do you get to see any of that?
It is such a big question. And I always tell people, you know, I have my own requests and I want to, you know, ask what's the reason? Why are we here? What's the purpose? And as far as I can tell, when they communicate, they liken it to trying to explain arithmetic to a squirrel, and I'm just the squirrel, you know. And so there's kind of limitations in what humans can understand. Mm-hmm. But what I can say resoundingly is every person that's came through has acknowledged a continuation of consciousness, mm-hmm. an expansion of consciousness, and more than anything, a deep sense of awareness of the ripple effect, mm-hmm. of how their actions and inactions affected the greater collective. Mm-hmm. And when people come through, we ask the question of, are they at peace? Do they find peace? I think they find peace through the acceptance of how they lived and how they died. Mm-hmm. And when they can get to that place, you know, there is peace, ultimately.
Crazy. Do you believe in past lives? And do you believe that you've been here like many a lives?
You know, I don't have a ton of past life baggage, although I certainly think it's possible. And I think that if we look at, as I said earlier, with like an eternal soul, it's kind of like a book. You'd have chapters in that mm-hmm. book, just as our own lives have chapters. Yeah. And just as our kind of eternal nature would have chapters. So whether we call them incarnations or different iterations of self, it all kind of reflects that consciousness is one big thing kind of experiencing itself.
Crazy.
But, I mean, I know it sounds very woo, but it's kind of the nature of.
Do you believe that like energy transfers?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't believe that we ever just die and disappear. Like we're not just here to live. Because there's some people like, you know, atheists.
Materialists, yes.
Well, yeah, they believe. I don't know what a materialist is. Mm-hmm. What is that?
Yeah, it's like.
Teach me something.
Yeah, well, so there are atheists, agnostics, and then right. There's a lot of atheists are materialists. So they believe in just purely the material, that when you die, that's it. It goes black.
Right.
And that's it.
I feel like that's so hopeless.
Some people find it comforting, and I will tell all I know. It seems weird me saying this as the devil's advocate here, but there is something to be said about the idea of comfort in there not being anything after for people who may not want to continue living.
Right.
I mean, think of how hard life can be, yeah. Right? For some people, the idea of eternity seems really stressful, even though I don't believe it is, you know, by nature. I think for some people, it skeeves them out. The not knowing, the ambiguity, the what ifs, you know, and the not being able to really orient oneself in eternity, you know? And so some people just kind of shut it out by default because it's uncomfortable.
I don't know. To me, it's the opposite. Like, I want to picture like heavenly clouds, the pearly gates, and like the streets of gold. Like, that's, you know, I want to picture that when we leave here, we're going somewhere to meet up with everybody else that has passed away, you know,
and I believe that
in our life.
Absolutely.
Do you see all the members from your family who have passed away? Do they try to come and talk to you?
It's kind of funny. Not as much. And like my grandma being the one who kind of kicked off that first premonition.
Yeah.
I very rarely hear from her. So if anything, I think it's kind of comforting. I find it kind of an indication that wherever she is, the essence of her is okay, is at peace, has accepted.
She gave you your gift, pretty much, if you think about it. Well, so not, true. You know, it was just kind of like, hey.
You're right.
This is what you're here to do, buddy.
She was a telephone operator in life. You know, she'd connect calls for people.
Aww,
there's something kind of profound, symbolically beautiful about that, that her last gift to me was to
connect,
kind of try to connect with people.
I love that. That is so amazing. All right. Well, I got a couple more questions for you. I'm just so fascinated with you.
Oh, thank you.
You graduated at 16.
I did.
Which is wild to me.
Yes.
You strike me as like extremely intelligent too.
Oh, you're very sweet. I'm like selectively intelligent, so like I don't drive.
You have to be intelligent to drive, because half the time I'm not even paying attention.
In LA traffic, I think that definitely can be the case. But no, yeah. I was like Velcroing my shoes up until age 13, like very much a Rain Man.
Yeah.
I was very much intelligent in some respects.
Are you, and I mean this respectfully, are you on the spectrum at all?
I honestly, probably.
Have you ever taken the autism test?
I think I have it. I'm like,
Haley, we
got to
send him
test?
The autism test.
Let's send me the autism test.
We're all on the spectrum.
But I mean, we got stimming going on.
Yeah.
I mean, I like, yeah, for sure. So for me, I think, you know, and it's great to have conversations around.
Yeah, I'm surprised they have never tested you for that.
What's so interesting, there's research being done at Stanford University about autism's relationship to psychic perceptions, kind of different ways of thinking. And
yeah.
It's very fascinating, all the creative ways people can be.
Yeah. No, I just, whenever I heard you say that you had graduated at 16, I was like, this kid is fucking brilliant, dude.
You're very sweet.
It's your life. It's your testimony.
You're so, so, so sweet. I really just, for me, wanted to do as much good as I could with what I was given. You know, I didn't come from a lot financially. You know, my parents are very salt of the earth folks. They ran a little business in our little town, and I just feel so privileged to be able to be where I'm at in life.
I love that. And I love that you just use this for good and you just try to spread goodness everywhere, because there is so much, the world is lacking so much empathy and so much love. Yeah. And it's like when you see you speak, it's always just so full of love.
Thank you, Bunny. That means a lot. I hope that people never get disenchanted with the world.
Yeah.
I hope that the work always provides a sense of wonder for people.
Yeah.
Wondering, you know, what do I believe? Why are we here? You know, anything that I can do to inspire people to ask further questions around their place in this world and what they can do about it. That's my purpose.
Do people just corner you and hammer you with questions all the time? Because I would.
Sometimes, goodness.
Tyler, I need to ask you a question.
There was an instance in IKEA back in the day when I first started, and a girl was like, should I break up with my boyfriend? And I'm like, did you have a fight last night? Probably not that psychic, right, to determine if she's asking.
Yeah.
But I got some impressions, and I was like, oh, it's not looking hot. And then I was like, Tyler, don't do that in an IKEA.
Oh, I love
it. I was like, the boyfriend is going to come find me now.
Oh, did she break up with him?
I don't know. I never heard back, but I mean, I would assume. So I'm very selective with random impressions.
Gotcha. Yeah, you've learned to probably bite your tongue, because some people want to accept it and some people don't.
Totally. I always joke the love life is the hardest area to give advice on in the 200 celebrities who sat with.
It's emotional.
It is. And people are going to do what they want to do anyway.
Yeah.
With their love life. It's like asking for advice. We generally often already know what to do. We're just looking for kind of being pulled in one direction or the other.
Yeah.
But like Amber Rose, I sat with him. I was like, don't date a rapper. Don't date a rapper. It's not going to end well. And then she goes and dates a rapper. So
yeah, had two kids.
Right, right. You know, and that is totally, you know, personal choice, but it's just funny, you know, when people are like, tell me what you get. And I'm like, you're not going to follow it anyway.
Yeah. What do you do for fun? What does a psychic medium do for fun?
Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I just live a very quiet, sedate life with my partner. We read books to each other at night. I make stained glass windows.
Oh, I love stained glass windows. Yes.
Oh, I'd love to make you one
sometime. Oh, my God.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
That'd be fabulous.
I would love that. Do I not? I have stained glass windows tattooed on me.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not hard to install.
Oh my God. Yeah, we're building a new studio for the new Dumb Blonde studio. I would love to have you do a stained glass window.
That would be so cool.
I'll pay you for it. How do you make a fucking stained glass window?
It's a process, but not as much as you would think. You basically buy the glass in advance. It's all colored, pre-colored. Yeah. And you cut it out, and then you basically foil it, and then you just solder it together.
Do you want me to get you a napkin? You're sweating.
Am I sweating? You know what?
Poor baby.
I have a napkin.
Is something coming through? Do we need to talk about it?
Stuff always is coming through. But no, it's all good. All positive. And we can talk about intuitive stuff too, if you'd like.
Yeah, I would love to. Hammer away.
If anything comes in.
Yeah.
Sorry, my goodness. I have stuff bumping in.
Ooh, you want some water?
Do you have a pen and paper by chance?
Or yes.
Like a piece of paper?
Do we have a pen and paper?
I have all this stuff coming in. Yeah, all good.
Are you all right?
Now's a good time to scribble really quickly. Just see if something pops in. When I start sweating, it's always an indication.
Oh, you poor baby.
Oh, it's good.
That's awesome, though, because it kind of like warns you, like, you know, hey, incoming.
Exactly.
Literally.
Oh, yeah. No, it's very helpful now.
Oh.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Can we have the book? Okay.
Oh, I don't want to move this. Sorry about that.
No, you're good, baby. You
go ahead and move it.
Are you sure?
Yeah, you can move it, baby. Yeah, so when stuff starts downloading like that and you start getting sweaty, does it feel like a panic attack is coming on? Or how does it feel?
Oh, perfect.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much. Amazing. Thank you, Mimi.
Thank you. For Mimi.
Sorry.
We'll send her telepathic.
Yeah.
Come back.
come back. Does it feel like a panic attack coming on, or how does it feel whenever downloads start coming in?
The way I would describe it is it feels like the peripheral kind of starts going out.
Oh,
on some level. So like, you know, when you just kind of like go about your day, it almost feels like things start tuning in.
Okay.
In a way that's very visceral, visual even.
Yeah, like tunnel vision.
Mm-hmm. But there's even kind of an internal sensation of like a fullness, as weird as that sounds.
Wow.
And it's not indigestion. I've learned to kind of navigate it and see what comes in. So I'll just kind of really like really quickly what just pops through there, there. All right.
What an amazing gift.
Oh, you're so sweet.
It's wild.
Let's see what pops in there. Because mom's side of family hits me much more than dad's side of family, which is good to keep in mind. And on that side of family, this is good to keep in mind when we talk about their mom's side, females who've passed. And then I want to talk about this character. I got this lady I want to bring up. She's cute.
I hope it's not my fucking mother.
Let me look and see. This is coming across as funny.
Oh, Vanessa, don't start your shit with me, lady.
Give me one sec. Let me just look here and see.
I love it.
Because I have to talk about a joke of not when people refuse oxygen or don't want to use oxygen because they don't like the way it makes them look. There's a funniness of this of, I'm going to do it. I'm going to do my own thing. Don't tell me what to do.
Oh, my God.
And a funniness that comes through of I'm going to live the way I want to live. I'm going to die the way I want to die.
Oh, my gosh.
Very much that kind of attitude in some capacity. Just good to kind of keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know of anything about the oxygen rejection?
Yeah. That's my mom.
Okay. We're taking that a step further. There's an acknowledgement around living family currently. There's an acknowledgement around some health-related stuff. That's just kind of good to keep in mind. Family members, current people, this is good to consider downside. Remember that I'm saying this? There's some acknowledgement around a Frank that comes through. Just remember that I'm saying that. Mm-hmm. There's some significance, usually who they are, who they're with, or somebody.
Mm-hmm.
But there is an acknowledgement there. Is your dad still with us?
He is, but he has terminal cancer.
I'm
he's
so
dying.
Sorry. I have to highlight in the way this comes through, I'm seeing symbology around filtration. Usually filtration revolves around fluid, the body's ability to kind of reduce or let go of fluids,
mm-hmm.
and there's a susceptibility to fluid buildup. What does come through is kind of interesting is an acknowledgement of a problem starting lower and then kind of going gradually higher.
Mm-hmm.
So this is just kind of good to keep in mind when we talk about overall proclivities to things,
mm-hmm.
something starting lower, kind of going higher,
mm-hmm.
or kind of going gradually up. For him, just really keeping in mind, like, filtration, the body's ability to get rid of toxins. I keep seeing like things building up, and they usually can be an indication of organ-related issues. Mm. Largely, just keeping in mind for him, false susceptibilities to injuries, like tripping, falling out of bed, mm-hmm. like that kind of thing yeah. pops in. And it's good to keep that in mind. There's an acknowledgement around. Let me look there. You have some people who are not family who pop through.
What up, homies? It's probably some of the homies that have passed over.
I think so. As I see some symbology around like marriage, union, joy, happy for you. The way I would word this, it just, if there's anybody who you feel has passed, who loved you a hell of a lot and maybe could have seen a romantic future, but it wasn't the right time or the right place, just remember that
probably I'm probably my ex, Tony.
I think that guy wants you to know how proud of you he is and that he, when he comes across, acknowledges an awareness and existence in your relationship and that you deserved more than he was able to give at that time. And that aspect seems to pop in. There is an acknowledgement around your mom's situation with this.
This woman doesn't ever stop talking.
Oh, fascinating thing there.
Even in her death. There's all she does is talk.
It's weird. Does she have her little... She's bringing me into this one thing. She's like, she's got her little domain, her area. This is my area. Let me figure this out really quickly.
Yeah, she is a fucking lunatic, Tyler.
She's a very, very strong energy. I just want to figure out what this is because there's one thing that pops in. There's an acknowledgement around, like, forgiveness. There's a very strong emphasis on an awareness of how you've broken cycles or that you've been able to put a stop to things. So I see my symbol for basically like a chain coming unlinked. And that's always a good sign. But that also, in the way this is coming through, what is this other thing? Just remember that I'm saying this. There's an acknowledgement around applying forgiveness, doing your own thing. There's a feeling of you creating your own family unit, separate from other family, separate from other biological family. Mm-hmm. And they're having me acknowledge it's okay to say no. I keep getting this feeling of a money-related thing, of someone expecting or that it should be owed to me, that you have to help me because I am who I am. How dare you not help me?
She's That's talking about weird. My sister.
That situation and the way that this comes across, there's a weirdness because... And I have to be clear with this. Like, there's an acknowledgement of narcissism that comes through there. And if someone has said that this person is a narcissist,
she's a bad witch,
or deals with narcissistic personality disorder, just a way of kind of trying to like acknowledge that area. But more largely than that, it's not even about money. So keep this in mind. Things that don't even have monetary value but are just hurtful, there's an aspect there that comes through of her selfishness, entitlement, like that aspect. In the way this comes through, though, they show this like, wiping that up, all clean, and the way this comes through, it's a way of acknowledging, like, when we set boundaries with people, abiding by those boundaries.
Yeah.
And not letting people kind of weasel their way back in some respects.
Yeah.
There's definitely an emphasis on that one. There are a couple weirder things that pop in with this related to your mom.
God,
this is just good to keep in mind. She might send wild animals or strange animals to your house. And it's like, but
tell her send me a possum and a crow.
I love it. But there's a funniness around like a petting zoo, but more like surprise. And then there is an acknowledgement around what looks like a Big Brother thing, but this is weird. Let me figure out what this is. I've sat with Ross Matthews. I saw like Big Brother stuff. Sometimes it can relate to like potential work someday and being able to bring awareness to, like fostering. Foster children, helping underprivileged children. I don't know why, but there is an aspect of like being able to help in a larger capacity in an institutional way for young underprivileged kids who are like at that transitionary stage between childhood and adulthood. So there could be some opportunities there to kind of further that, and that looks really, really positive.
Yeah, you're pretty spot that. On.
With mom's thing, were people, do you know of people not being able to be there when mom passed? Do you know if anybody?
Yes, nobody was there. She passed in Nashville with.
Gotcha.
I wasn't with her because I was mad at her.
Do you know by chance if somebody was not allowed to a funeral or if somebody was told to kindly like not attend?
Yeah, my sister.
Okay.
The Wicked Witch of the West.
I'm so sorry. I just need to make it clear in the way this comes through. There's a sense of I see now how things were, an awareness of things much more there than she may have had here, and therefore an accountability for her actions. There's an aspect there when she talks about mental health. She feels like you were a hell of a lot stronger than her in some respects. It's going to sound strange, but she's showing me the inversion of mother and daughter and mother. So it's almost like, as weird as this sounds, She was like the daughter soul, and yeah. you were like the mother soul.
Mm, that makes me want to cry.
And you've always been a stabilizing force in the lives of people around you. Mm. But there's a sense of, I'm sorry, I couldn't give you what you fully deserved. Mm. And that comes in.
Thank you, Tyler.
Yeah.
That made me cry. Oh,
good.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be. Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You've handled everything so beautifully. You've been able to alchemize what you've gone through and your trauma, and you've been able to not perpetuate that onto other people. I mean, what a gift to
be able to
have the buck stop at you.
Yeah.
You know, that's a gift.
I appreciate it. Thank you for all that. That was
of course.
Wild.
My goodness.
You were very spot on with my dad. My dad actually has tubes that are in his lungs right now because he can't drain the lungs. My dad literally has days left, you know, maybe if anything, weeks.
Sure.
I've inherited custody of both of my parents in their deaths.
Oh, gosh. And what a burden.
Actually, it's their gift to me because I didn't have a relationship with my mom. I didn't meet my mom till I was 36 I saw her for the second time in my entire life with Jay at one of his concerts, and then I inherited custody of her, you know, like a couple years later. So, and she was in Nashville for about 6 months, then she passed away. You know, I was working through my resentment with her because she was so childlike. Yeah. It used to piss me off so much.
Sure.
I'd be like, get the fuck up. You know, so, and the oxygen thing.
Yeah.
She always fucking had this oxygen tube on, and she drove me fucking crazy. Yeah. She didn't appreciate anything I did for her, you know? Yeah. But so hearing that just like, you know, really warms my heart. Cause I haven't, since she passed, the first week she passed, I got signs from her all the time and felt her so much. And then after that, I haven't really gotten anything from her. So I was like, oh, she's probably mad at me. My sister, spot on, as soon as my mom died, she's like, I want what mom left. And I'm like, she died with her fucking clothes on, you know? And she came to Nashville, took the outfit off of my mom while she was in the morgue, took her rings off her fingers, and like stole from the Airbnb that I had her in. Like, I could sit here for hours and talk about it. But I just wanted to confirm what you were saying was all 100% dead on. Is that not crazy, Mimi?
Brutal. Oh, I know. Gosh.
We're all bawling. Yeah,
it's just, you know, it's. There's a lot there, of course.
No,
and we could go on for hours,
but I truly
think when it comes to that, I mean, it's a testament to your strength and what you've been able to do with your life. And
I love that.
And being able to make the world a better place despite the darkness that you've had to go through.
Yeah.
And in many ways, it's so much more than things, you know? Mm-hmm. We talk about how sometimes death brings out the worst in people.
Yeah.
And it can.
Absolutely.
These references, it's interesting. Just kind of put an emphasis on equity and... I'm just gonna say this out.
You can say it. No, you're fine.
If your sister like got more preferential treatment, or if there was a situation where basically the person who was least deserving got a less hard time, there's kind of a way that this comes through of acknowledging sister, and like I feel like a ton got put on you, and then there's an acknowledgement of in some ways things not being as hard for her,
right?
And kind of an interesting sense of equity. But the way I would word this is like, I don't feel like mom maybe always would hold sister to the same standard she would hold you as an adult. So like if her bar is a lot lower, it's like we shouldn't expect I'm trying to think how to word this.
Yeah, no, I get it. That's how it is with both my sisters.
It's frustrating mm-hmm. in the way this comes through of you being held to a different standard than a sibling would be held.
Absolutely. Yeah, both my sisters got away with the murder, and I was like the workhorse of the family, you know. Yes. You good? Would you like some water?
All good.
We have a bottled water in my purse if you
want it.
Thank
you. I'm all good.
Okay, good.
All good. Now I feel good.
Yay. Awesome. You feel good?
Yeah.
So when those come through, like, is it like static in your brain?
It's a lot going on.
Because I was watching you,
And so, you know, what I find is there's nuance. I have to be able to kind of articulate the nuanced dynamics of what comes through, like, in a family, and articulate in a way that makes sense. So when I do a reading, you know, I'll see a lot of symbols sometimes, like a chain breaking.
Right.
And that's my symbol for, okay, you know, breaking a chain, mm-hmm. ending a cycle. And that's something that I've learned over years of doing this work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I see this, it means that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like doing math problems in my head without scratch paper.
I picture your brain being like, have you seen that episode in, or not that episode, that movie Beetlejuice, and they have the waiting room?
Yes.
Where everybody's waiting and the one dude's got the ticket and it's like that. It's like, do spirits literally just flood you because they, or does it always have to pertain to that person?
It can definitely flood in. And in those cases, I just kind of do my best to discern between, you know, who's coming through for what and what's coming through for who.
That's wild.
But it's really a process. It's where I'd say the hardest part of my job is discerning what is for who.
Have you ever had voices speak out of you?
Like out of me?
Yeah, like,
oh, that would be true.
Has anybody ever been able to like take possession of your body and speak for you?
No, but that is a type of physical mediumship that, you know, there is some evidence seems to exist. The work of Stuart Alexander, a UK medium, and number of cases where it seems to be possible. But in my case, it's a lot less dramatic.
Yeah.
Except I just sweat a lot.
No, you're good. Yeah. How do you ground yourself and how do you shake other people's energy off of you? Because I would feel like that would be heavy to carry that around all the time.
You know, I think focusing on what's given versus what the person has had taken away helps. And when I'm able to meet with somebody and lighten their load in any capacity, when I go home, you know, that's more what I put an emphasis on, not necessarily the heavy stuff that the relief came from. So it's just kind of a matter of focus. I'm sure therapists probably relate to it, or even interviewers, right? You can kind of focus on how draining the day was, or you can focus on what you got out of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's amazing. Well, do you want to take some questions from the Patreons?
Yes, I'd love to.
We'll call Daddy really quick because he's so excited.
That
he's
so sweet.
He's actually already FaceTimed me.
I love it.
Shocking. He's in the studio, so if he doesn't answer right now, he'll call me right back.
Yeah, no worries. And also, good to keep in mind, anybody in this room, information sometimes can come through. So if anything I said pertains to any of y'all, just good
anybody
to keep
got a Frank?
If anybody's anybody got a Frank in the building.
Who's got a Frank?
Who's Frank?
Frank is one of my ex-boyfriends, but he's still alive.
He's still with us. Might have been one of a couple of situations. If I was curious about that ex thing, because it kind of came in.
Oh, Tony, strongly. Yeah.
How did Frank fall in the lineup?
I don't know the synchronicity.
Got it.
I got that word from you.
Yeah.
Of that. But Tony, so my ex, I was actually pregnant with his child. I lost his baby, but we were young, young. But when I ran away from home, he was my boyfriend and like my protector. And he actually always loved me.
Yes.
And we just, oh my gosh. Okay. So I know how it came into play. Oh my God. It just hit me right now. Jay's beeping in right now, but when Tony was dying, I was with Frankie and we went to his bedside and I could see Tony. I knew he was already dead.
Got it.
Hold on. I'll tell you the story in a second. Yep.
Got
that's
it.
Crazy. Hey, baby.
Hello.
Oh, Sorry. I'm so excited. I dropped my.
Hello, Jelly Roll.
Put it back on you.
It's
hello. Thank you so much. Oh. You're such a fan, dude.
My wife's
probably done 300 podcasts. I've probably been excited for five.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate
it. I'm so fired up about this, man. I'm so glad y'all are together. Thank you for making the time.
Oh, thank you. I so appreciate it. She's so lovely, and you were doing so much amazing work. I am so excited.
Man, thank you, man. I really appreciate it, dude. That's cool as hell.
Yes.
He just made me cry. He just did a reading. Like, got a download in the middle of our interview and, like, did just, I mean, he knew everything about Bill, and you know who came through? Good old Vanessa.
Really?
Yeah, and one of my ex-boyfriends, Tony, came through. It was hilarious.
Did Grace make an appearance?
She did not, and that makes me sad, but it's okay.
I love you.
I love you too, baby.
Good to see you, Jelly Roll.
Thank you, Tyler.
Oh, I love you, my man.
He didn't even want to talk to me. He's like, I love you, Tyler.
Oh, I so appreciate it.
I'm like, whatever, back to Tyler.
We'll connect. I love it.
I'm going to have Tyler do readings for us.
Hang out, Tyler.
Yeah, I'm going to have Tyler do readings for us so we can talk to Buddy and stuff.
I trust Tyler more than anybody.
Oh, no. My God. He's,
I think I'll actually get the real.
He just had me in tears. It was crazy.
Thank you. Uh-huh.
I love you, baby.
I love you and I miss you.
I love you, too. Bye.
So cute.
So
adorable.
I know, isn't he? He's my big old squish. Goodness. He's my little teddy bear. But yeah, so that's how that. So the last, when he, my ex had smoked, what is that fake weed called?
Oh, spice.
Spice.
Yeah.
And it sent him into cardiac arrest and he died.
Oh my God, that can happen.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's why don't smoke that shit, guys. And I remember we went to the, he didn't die automatically, but he went into a coma.
Wow.
He had a heart attack, went into a coma, and I went to go see him. And I remember I held his hand, and when I was holding his hand, I could see him standing, looking at me in the corner of the room. And I even looked at my ex, Frankie, at the time, and I was like, he's dead. I was like, he's not coming back. He's in the middle. He's in the corner of the room right now looking at us. And Frankie was just like, I'm so tired of you, bitch. Because I always came up, you know, like I predicted the mother of his child died. I had a dream, woke up, bawling my eyes out, predicted the child of his mom had passed away. She was healthy, 25-year-old woman, and 3 months later she died. So anytime I would say stuff like that to him, he would get
not again
out. Yeah,
right.
That's crazy that he acknowledged Frankie too. That's so crazy.
That weirdly enough is the strongest thing of our whole reading that's came through for me. The other stuff's kind of more incidental, but it's really interesting how the people we meet I think do inform our paths, and whether we know them, you know, for a moment or a lifetime, there's a reason to the season.
Yeah.
And they kind of get us to where we're going.
So wild. I love what you do, Tyler. And I definitely want to get you and Jay together because I would love for you to talk to his dad. He is still trying to get over his dad's death, you know, and he just loves his dad so much. So I think that you guys would have a really good session together.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, so when there's a need, it tends to do the most.
Yeah, absolutely. Why don't you tell people about that? It's an app you have that you do readings on?
I do. So it's Mark Cuban's app, technically. It's called Fireside, and it's I have a membership service called The Collective on it, and I meet with people every week, and we do private reading giveaways, group readings, and so for those of you interested, you can check it out. It's like $12 a month. It's like two coffees.
No, dude. And, but for your knowledge and your time, $12 a month is nothing. I mean, what you just came through with, I believed everything, but what you just came through with was literally everything I've been through. And, you know, for you to be so spot on and not even know anything like that, like that was wild. Does it ever get exhausting? Do you ever just not want to do this?
There's days where, you know, like you just don't, you know, you just maybe have a flu or you don't want to go to work or you feel kind of tired.
He's like, so I don't want to read when I have the flu.
Yeah. Well, there are times where I have to take a break if the body's not doing well. But it's like anything, you kind of, you know, make yourself do it. And then there's something good that comes from it.
Have you ever had a reading make you physically ill?
Yeah, especially early in my teen years when I was kind of doing readings frequently. I had an instance I was almost hospitalized. And I've had a guy who died of kidney failure come through and my lower back started hurting. And there was an instance where my throat started closing. I thought I was having an anaphylactic reaction.
Oh, no.
And the person had passed of throat-related issues. So, but it doesn't really come through that way anymore. The more I do it.
Yeah. Let's circle back to the brain surgery that you had told me about. What happened with that?
Yeah, that was wild. I just had headaches for about 3 weeks. And I was 18. Yeah. And, you know, I looked over at my mom one day and I said, Mom, I think I have water on my brain. My brain's swelling. And she was like, okay, drama queen. What a weird thing to say, right?
Yeah.
And then I was hospitalized. I started showing stroke symptoms, had a transischemic attack. That got me to the hospital. And then they did a brain scan where they saw that I had a cyst.
Oh my gosh.
Kind of in the very back, and it was obstructing fluid. And so my brain was swelling for about a week. And I got into emergency surgery and got it aspirated, but they were never able to remove it completely. So.
And they don't know what caused that?
It was congenital. For me, it was very synchronistic, the timing of being 18 and just starting my life and then having to kind of face death and know that it's still there, you know, and at any moment could flare up.
Do you feel like that made you more spiritual, maybe more in tune?
Yeah, just a lot more present. You know, you realize with the fragility of health,
how
you know, one day you're good and then the next day it can be not so good.
I'm watching that with my dad right now. It's like 1 minute he's great and then the next minute he's like, they told us there's nothing more they can do for him, and you're like, what are you talking about? I thought his labs were getting better, you know. So
it's like a pendulum, and it's so frustrating,
crazy,
because it can be so good one day and then the next day it's like on death's door. So it's frustrating to watch, I'm sure.
I try to tell everybody that health is wealth.
Yes.
You know, like, it doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how famous you are. It doesn't matter anything. If you don't have health,
nothing.
That there's nothing, yeah. You know, like it's so important to just take care of your body, take care of your soul, absolutely. Take care of trauma that you've been through, yes. You know, just take care of it all, because if not, it literally comes out in other ways in your life.
It always catches up with us in one way or another. It's so true.
For sure.
Yeah.
Do you drink?
I don't. I smoke weed.
Yeah, okay.
So I'm not completely boring, but thus the cough.
I'm straight edge. I'm sober now, but yeah.
Congratulations.
No, I love that about you, though. Yeah. He said, no, I smoke weed.
I smoke weed, but beyond that, yeah. I don't know. Alcohol, I think I come from a family where there were some issues with that on my dad's side.
Yeah.
And I just like the smell of it kind of turned me off.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, I never got to really explore that.
But. And never got into alcohol or anything like that?
No, yeah. Yeah, alcohol was the smell of alcohol kind of triggered me.
Oh, the smell of alcohol.
It made
me
feel kind of like, well, and yeah, it was tricky, but you know, you find ways to unwind.
If you guys want to talk to Tyler, please sign up on the collective, because he's the real deal and he's worth it.
Thank you, Bunny.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. So, do we have some Zoomers that want to ask? So,
Patreon.
Yeah. So, my Patreon gang, we love you guys so much. We have 140,000 members over there.
Wow, congratulations.
I know. That's amazing. Crazy. So, we have the highest tier is called the main attraction. And what we did was we picked five of the highest tier to be able to come and ask you a couple questions. And there's five of them. So, they'll ask you the questions. And
awesome.
We'll see what they say.
Let's do it.
Oh, really?
Uh-oh, it's all the energy in the room.
Oh, no. What do we do?
We're just going to blow
okay,
on it.
Okay, well, that's so Tyler, while her phone tries to turn on, well, that is crazy. I've never seen your phone do that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
If we all blow in your direction.
What's the weirdest thing that's ever happened to you? Have you ever had that happen
A
before?
Diaper bag flew off when I was reading Kenya Moore. I was sitting with her in a shop in Atlanta, and she was pregnant.
Yeah.
And the baby, the diaper bag behind her flew off on camera as if it had like a string attached. It was insane.
Wow.
And that was one of the weirdest moments. But yeah, we've had like light bulbs burst.
Wow.
Things like mics die is pretty standard. But I don't know. There's something to it. I'm not saying that's what that is, but
no.
It definitely occurs.
No,
like,
the lights, everywhere we go, lights flicker or lights go off in any house that I'm in. It drives me fucking crazy.
That's fascinating.
Hello.
Hello. I'm like the worst phone sex operator ever.
Oh my God. That would be hot though. Like, hello. I'm here to read you. You're calling to get your tiddlywinks and I'm here to tell you about if he was a phone sex operator.
Yeah.
And I'm here to tell you about past loved ones who passed on.
Let me read your butt cheek.
Yeah.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah. That's actually a thing, a form of divination. I'm not even kidding. That is Sylvester Stallone's mother was a butt cheek reader, and you can Google it.
Wait a second.
Google it.
Hold on. Let me take this off. I got it. Hold on.
Yeah.
Tell me this again.
Sylvester Stallone, his mother, red butt cheeks.
The hole or the cheeks?
It was the cheeks. He was a cheek reader.
I knew you had a passion for that. That's what my gift is supposed to be.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be a butt cheek reader. I'm obsessed with buttholes.
The cheeks or the hole?
The whole
package.
Setup.
Got it. The whole cash and prizes. Got it.
Tyler, you are a funny dude. I love it. That is so funny. Okay, I just learned about rumpology. So what is she reading?
So I guess it's the curvature. It's probably similar to the frenetics or whatever that's called with the head, you know? But she's like reads the curvature of the butt. I don't know.
I'm going to study this.
The BBL, I feel like, would throw that off. Like if someone got one.
This
did
is
you make
not...
a trip to Florida?
Yeah.
Did you go to Miami? I'm sensing...
Hi, guys. Can they see us? Can you guys see us? I can't hear in the headphones. Okay, they can't see. This is crazy. So Tyler, you're making everything go haywire.
I've been doing some physical experiments lately with trying to alter lights and things like in my free time. So I do wonder sometimes.
You're like a fucking a new age wizard. Literally.
It's the fairy. It's the glitter out of the butt. The butthole. Specifically.
Both of your phones? Okay, so Tyler just did a reading on me, guys. And Mimi's phones are going haywire. Like, they both shut off. One overheated. The other one, like, it won't open anything. Like, we've never had problems like this. So just stand by. We're going to fix this. Tyler, thank you for being so patient, baby. He's like, I'm used to this, bitch.
It's on brand everywhere I go. Things just.
Does this happen everywhere you go, literally?
No, not literally, but sometimes. Sometimes. Yeah. It really does, actually. There's been really genuinely anomalous phenomena has happened that Wild. Is electrical, like things that even techs can't explain.
Yeah, so I had a shaman come on the podcast when I first started, and the cameras would like reset.
All of them stopped and then just read this like single code.
Like 99999, like went across it. It was crazy. Wow. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Rumpology.
What a
I can't
career.
Stop thinking about it.
Imagine writing that on your taxes at the end of the year.
I mean, like how much does that pay? I need to know.
I was saying an arm and a leg, but probably a little more south.
Torso.
Torso, yeah. Lord.
I love that. Have you ever thought about doing stand-up comedy?
Oh, comediumship.
Dude.
Can you imagine?
That would be epic.
That'd be Tyler Perry. No. that pun. Oh, God. No, but yes.
That would be.
Hello.
Yay. Can you guys see us? Okay. So what was your name, baby? The one in the purple.
My name's Rachel.
Hi, Rachel. And then Sierra, correct? Hi. Thank you guys for doing this. I really appreciate it. And thank you guys for being Patreon members.
Thank you for having us.
I appreciate you so much. And then this is Tyler.
Hello. I'm like, oh. It's good to see you both. Thank you for joining us. It's good to see you. I love it. We'll do, I guess, one question at a time.
Yeah, one question at a time.
You both could probably shout your questions at the same time, but it would be less effective. So we'll start with you.
The one in the purple.
Yes.
Okay, so my question was, after you pass away, how long does it take for your body to realize that you're passed, and how long does it take for your soul to like notice that you've passed? Sure. You know, like get used to being dead.
Passed,
I guess.
Right? Yeah, that new state. It's a fascinating question. Thank you for asking it. You know, there's been a lot of research done in hospice in this area, and so when you look at cases of people who are terminally ill, very often you kind of actually see a gradual process where it seems that the soul kind of gradually leaves the body. We think of death oftentimes as an instantaneous thing, and I've kind of learned that in a lot of cases, it's gradual. It's a process in which our energy kind of leaves, is maybe depleted in this realm, but then exists in another. And then you have cases that are a little bit quicker, and those differ. But somebody can come through the same day that they pass, and then there are some situations where people won't hear from anyone for months or even years after. And it doesn't mean they don't like us or that they're not interested in connecting. There's just logistically, I think, certain variables that kind of limit certain aspects.
Yeah, I think I just feel that way because my granny passed away when I was 10, and I'm 30 now, and I haven't had a connection with her.
Sure.
I don't know if it's because I didn't go to her funeral or,
she
like knew, or I don't know, my dad kept it from me, so I didn't know she passed away until a couple weeks later.
Yeah, you know, they tend, I believe, to really process those human emotions, the ego, you know, the kind of defense mechanisms we have to navigate our earthly lives. They really process those, and through introspection they let them go. I very rarely have people come through with any form of anger or any sense of, you know, why didn't you do X, Y, or Z? They seem to really get the bigger picture perspective, and that is very eye-opening for them, and they really seem to see that it's more about the connection and the love that we left behind than what we didn't do or what we could have done. And then that is easy for them to say, harder for us to integrate.
Thank you.
Thank you for your
so
question.
Much for your question, baby. And thank you again for being a Patreon member.
Yes.
I appreciate you.
Oh, always,
buddy.
I love it.
And Sierra, what was your question, baby?
My question was, can you channel like your own lost loved ones? And like, do you just hear people literally all day, every day? And then kind of off of that too, like, can you turn like the bad spirits kind of like say no, like, I don't sure. want you to come in and only like have good yeah. vibes?
Absolutely. So to answer that, I would say for me, most of my loved ones don't really make a connection. And I would attribute that, surprisingly for a lot of people when I say that, to really just the fact that there isn't a need. You know, I was very close with my grandma and she passed when I was 10. And I really very seldomly connect with her. And I'm 28. If anything, I view that lack of reaching out as actually an indicator that she's where she's meant to be, that wherever she is, she knows we're going to all reunite at some point in the grand picture. And there isn't really a strong message. As far as, you know, discernment goes, I've lived my life in such a way where I have certain practices. I'm big on prayer, on meditation, on kind of doing things that orient us fully in the present moment. And in doing so, you know, you can really set an intention and learn how to navigate those kind of more subtle boundaries. So in the thousands of readings that I've done, there's only been a handful of times where I've ever been frightened or where I've ever felt something that might be negative. And I attribute that to, you know, some divine protection that I think we all have access to. And I think people underestimate how much power they have in what they let in. You know, you can still have a relationship with your loved ones who have passed and not be afraid, you know, that they are ghosts that go bump in the night. These are our parents. These are our siblings. These are our grandparents. And then we owe it to them to remember them as such.
Hmm. I love that. Thank you, Sierra. Thank you for your question, babe. And thank you for being a Patreon member. I really appreciate you too, baby.
Thank you. We
appreciate
thank you.
I love you and Jelly and Tyler. Thank you, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Love you guys. We'll see you guys later.
Yes. Much love.
Thank you. Bye, guys. See you later. Aw. You're so sweet. Oh, I love that. Thank you for answering those.
Oh, that's so sweet. That was a weird look. Look at the screen.
Dude, everything's just true.
That's funny.
I love it.
The fact that both of my that one overheated and this that's one will funny. Not open the app store whatsoever.
That's like, weird. Won't do
anything. That's yeah. crazy.
Well, hopefully when I leave, it'll go back.
It's weird. Aww, yeah. That's crazy because for the first time, I'm not hot in here, and normally I'm always hot in here. Yeah. When he was reading, I was getting shivers, like really? Cold, like shaking. Wow. Yeah.
Some people will get that, yeah. Even mm-hmm. people who enter into the state of doing readings for other people sometimes get real chilly.
Tyler, I really appreciate you. I want to ask you one more question.
Of course.
Do you believe in spirit guides and do you connect to spirit guides?
Yeah, you know, I really do. I believe in unseen forces of support.
Right.
And that might sound kind of naive or like overtly optimistic, but I truly believe that we never truly walk alone.
Yeah.
I believe that we are really an amalgamation of everyone who has ever shown us love.
Mm-hmm.
And whether they are still with us in the physical realm or whether they pass, I think there's something to be said about being able to tap into that esteem that those who love us unconditionally give.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, a lot of those people are departed. So
yeah,
I kind of call upon that. When I go on stage and I'm nervous and I'm standing in front of 3,000 people, I say, come join me. You know, come with me, Grandma. Come with me, Terry, my childhood friend. You know, join me. Let's do this together. And when you can even tell yourself that, you know, think of the people you've loved and lost. Invite them into your lived experiences and you will realize that you go in with more power. You go in really knowing you're not alone. And it can be beautiful.
Did you lose a childhood friend?
I did, yes. My friend Terry, he had brain cancer.
Oh.
And that was such a weird moment because he died around 18. And around 18 is when I had my brain cyst, you know, happen. And initially, when that occurred, they thought that it could have been a malignant brain tumor.
Mm-hmm.
So I watched my friend die of cancer. And then within months of his passing, was facing the potential that I could go down the same path. And thank God I didn't. But it was really cathartic.
Yeah. Did you ever get a feeling with Terry that something was wrong? Did you tell him?
I had to distance myself from him because I did not have the maturity to process the fact that he was going to die.
Aww.
And at the time, you know, he was given the all clear. But I knew in my soul that he wouldn't get to live a full life.
Mm.
And so he reached out to me towards the end of his life and wanted to connect. And I said, yes, we'll meet up soon. I can't wait to see you. And then he died.
Oh.
So I never got the chance. So
I hate that.
But, you know, things go. as they go.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. Yeah. Well, is there anything you want to tell anybody at home or leave the audience? I'm sure they're all listening to this podcast just like, holy shit.
Oh, well, that's so sweet.
This is wild.
Whether people believe in mediums or not, I understand. And mm-hmm. I encourage people to just try to live a life where they prevent future regret. Mm. Live a life where you make sure nothing goes unsaid. Mm. Do everything in the best of your ability to tell people while we have them that we love them, and give people the flowers while they're still here. Don't wait for them to die.
I swear to God, you just read my mind. I was thinking that in my head. I swear to God, that's crazy. Tyler, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you, like your socials and stuff like that. And shout out the Collective one more time.
That's right. Collective over on Fireside. Y'all can check out. But Tyler Henry Medium is where I'm at on Instagram. It's kind of like the only one that I do a whole lot. But we got TikTok, I guess. And
you got to get more active on TikTok.
I know. I got to get verified.
Blow the fuck up. I can plug you in with WME. Oh, they'll help
so
you
sweet.
With that.
She's so, so sweet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We'll talk. I'm excited to get to see this. It's going to be so cool.
I love you so much, Tyler. Thank you for coming on, babe.
I love you, bunny. Thank you.
I really appreciate you. Thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of Dumb Blonde. I will see you guys next week. Bye. If you ask me, nothing stinks more than when your husband Dutch ovens you with a big, ripe, juicy one and then holds your head down under the covers. Except maybe body odor. That's why I'm excited to tell you about Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. Lumi delivers outrageous 72-hour odor control everywhere, from your pits to your feet, and yes, even those private parts. As a special offer, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com. That's LumiDeodorant.com. You guys know I absolutely love Lumi. I rock it everywhere I go. I work long hours, so if I'm doing like a podcast run or if I'm out at one of my husband's shows or just overall anxiety ridden and I'm sweating, Lumi has saved me so many times, especially a toasted coconut. I feel like it masks my odor a little bit more, and especially that right armpit that always smells like beef stroganoff. If you know, you know. Once again, as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code BUNNY, B-U-N-N-I-E, at LumiDeodorant.com.